This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, what's going on? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another week and another episode here of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast. I'm here answering your jazz and music questions 5 days a week to help you have more fun than ever playing music and, of course, to fast track your improvement as a jazz musician. Get you playing those jazz solos that you've always dreamed of playing. Today, we have a really great question today from Kevin Pritchett, one of our Inner Circle members. Let's give it a listen.
Hey, Brent, this is Kevin. Here's my question. What are the best chords and chord progressions to use chordal voicings on? Hope the question makes sense. In other words, I know chordal voicings in all the keys, but I'm kind of, sometimes they sound right and sometimes they don't. What are the best chords, chord progression situations for a chordal musician, comping musician to use chordal voicings? Thanks.
All right, that's a great question. So quartal voicings, let me spell that in case anybody was mishearing that. It's Q-U-A-R-T-A-L, quartal voicings. What are they? When is it best to use them? And I want to just also say right up front that if you are a horn player or a bass player and not like a guitar piano player, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, talks about voicings are not just for chordal instruments. You can use voicings in your improvisation. In fact, it's a great idea for horn players and the like to study voicings and play them as arpeggios to see what kind of ideas that helps them generate. So let's define first what a chordal voicing is. A chordal voicing is a chord that is stacked in fourths rather than thirds. So if we think about like a regular minor seventh chord. Let's say it's a D minor seventh chord, okay? We have a root. We stack a third on top of that. That's the minor third. We stack a third on top of that. That's the fifth. We stack a third on top of that. That's the flat seven, right? And that's our minor seventh voicing, right? So that's a basic minor seventh voicing. But if we wanted to do a chordal voicing, one that's not based on stacking thirds, but based on stacking fourths, we could have a different result like this, right? That sounds like this. Now, right, here's the chordal version, and here's the other version there. Subtle difference there, but so here's how I'd do this one. I'd go root, I go fourth, then I go flat seven, right? And then I go third. So root, four, flat seven, right? And that's a chordal voicing, right? Based on stacking fourths, because they're all fourths away from each other. A fourth, a fourth, a fourth, right? Perfect fourths away from each other. So it's a chordal voicing. Now, the basic application of chordal voicings that you hear most often is in modal playing. Like think like So What, right? That's just a song that's based on D minor or impressions, right? It's based on just D minor, essentially. Yeah, it goes to E flat minor, but it's a modal tune that's really based around playing one chord. Well, if we think about that as Dorian for a second, we're playing a D minor seven, and we're thinking about the Dorian mode here. We could create chordal voicings and harmonize the entire major scale with that. So, for example, we could do something like this. Right? So that's essentially, right, creating chordal voicings. And there's different kinds of chordal voicings, and you can fudge chordal voicings a little bit that they're not always stacked in fourths, but they still have that essence. But you essentially, that's what we can do. We can harmonize a major scale with chordal voicings, and we can play around with that quite a bit. So then all of a sudden in our comping, we're playing, you know, a modal situation like that. Well, really, we're thinking about all that stuff for D minor, right? We're thinking about the major scale like that. And the chordal voicings work really well that way. It also works well for, like, you know, chromatic approaches into any of these chords. Right? You can do all sorts of stuff with chordal voicings as far as moving them and leading them together. So they work really well in a modal context. But again, if you think about it, you could really play chordal voicings over anything. So, like, let's say 2-5-1, right? That's like a basic 2-5-1 chord progression. Well, I could use chordal voicings for those chord voicings as well. In fact, let's just try that. So over the D minor, I'll play this chordal voicing. And then over the G, I'll play this one, which is essentially like I'm playing an E minor chordal, you know, root position chordal voicing here, but over top of a G, and it sounds pretty good, right? So, over the one, I'll play that chordal voicing, or maybe I'll play that. That sounds good too. So, really, we can do chordal voicings over standard traditional diatonic harmony, like 2-5-1s and 6-2-5-1s and all that stuff. The thing you just have to realize about chordal voicings, right, of course, is that, you know, they are more ambiguous than other kinds of voicings, right? There's an ambiguity to them. And so if you're not wanting to be ambiguous with your voicing, you might not choose a chordal voicing, right? But as you can kind of hear, like, if you put the bass in there, right, you can hear what the voicing is just fine, even though it's a chordal voicing. So the bass will fill in a lot of the blanks there. But I agree with Kevin, like, sometimes chordal voicings maybe just aren't the best choice, but I think that it just kind of has to do with what musical context. Like, it would be incorrect of me personally to say, well, you should use chordal voicings only in these circumstances and not in these circumstances. You know, we can use drop two voicings, we can use chordal voicings, we can use block chords, we could use shell voicings, we can use all sorts of voicings as long as they're voice leading together appropriately and they sound good, right? We can listen to more stylistic ways of playing, right? Like McCoy Tyner, right? McCoy Tyner is like the king of playing chordal voicings, right? And using that kind of stuff. But also, yeah, look at the harmony that he's playing in a lot of his tunes that he's composed where that kind of stuff is happening. Like, very friendly to more modal styles of playing and chordal voicings. But that doesn't mean you can't play them with diatonic harmony as well. You just have to be mindful of, like, you know, what is the sound that you're trying to produce while you're doing that, right? And understanding that chordal voicings can sometimes create a more ambiguous sound, not entirely clear, right? Especially when we're omitting, like, the third being very present in that voicing, even if it is the top note or not. All right, so that's a little bit into chordal voicings. Hope that some of that was helpful. As always, remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that a lot of practice time isn't near as good as a little bit of really good practice time. And make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't want you to miss out on any episodes coming out this week. We have some really good ones, so make sure you do that. Until next time, happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.